Methodology Minutes is brought to you by the Methodology Center at Penn State, your source for cutting-edge research methodology in the social, behavioral, and health sciences.
Hello, and welcome to Methodology Minutes. Our guest today is Dr. Mark Stembler. Mark is a visiting scholar this fall at the Methodology Center. He's spending 5 weeks here to teach a one-credit course in configural frequency analysis. And Mark is visiting from Bielefeld University in Germany, where he is professor of psychological methodology and quality management.
Hi, Micah.
Hello, and good morning, and welcome to Methodology Minutes. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me over.
You're welcome. And it's been a very fast, quick, whirlwind 5 weeks, I'm sure, for you. So you've been very busy, and I thank you for spending the time this morning on your last week here in the U.S. with us to take some time out.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. I guess I would first of all just like to start by asking you a little bit about your current position in Germany and maybe some background on your research interests to kind of lay the stage for how you came here to the Methodology Center.
Yes, as you mentioned, I'm a professor of psychological methodology and quality management, but I'm also at the moment the chairman of the faculty of psychology and sports science.
Okay.
And I'm also a member of the Center for Statistics at Bielefeld University.
Okay.
Yeah. So my research interests are actually two kinds of different fields. I'm interested in methodology, especially longitudinal data analysis and categorical data analysis, but I'm also a developmental psychologist. I'm interested in the social behavior of children and adolescents.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. And as far as your connections to the Methodology Center, how did you come to visit us? Was there specific collaborations that started this process or other specific experiences?
I graduated from Penn State and the College of Health and Human Development. By then, I had a minor in statistics, and I always, you know, was interested in methodological issues. Well, I tried to keep in touch with the College of Health and Human Development throughout my working life. First, in 1998, I invited Linda Collins, the director of the center, over to give a talk on, you know, latent transition analysis, because I organized a meeting on longitudinal data analysis.
It was
a small meeting in Nuremberg.
Mm-hmm.
I visited Penn State myself twice to visit the Prevention Research Center of Mark Greenberg. So there.
Okay.
So I've been in touch.
There's
with
a long tradition, it sounds like, of you and Penn State's working together and knowing each other. And
yeah, I have very good memories of my graduate program. My son was actually born here in State College.
Oh, wow.
18 years ago. And
good.
So I have fond memories of this town.
Good. So it's good to come back and have the personal as well as the professional links.
That's correct.
Good. Yeah. Well, can we talk a little bit about the class that you were teaching this fall, the configural frequency analysis, in a little bit more detail? I guess maybe, first of all, just a general description of what this method is and it's used for, those types of details. Can you provide us?
Yeah, configural frequency analysis, or how we call it CFA, was invented by Gustav A. Leonard in 1969. Actually, he gave a presentation on this method at a German conference. And I learned about CFA from Alexander von Aye, who was a professor in the 90s when I was a student here.
Oh, okay.
So, and Alexander von Aye was a student of Gustav A. Leonard.
Right, right.
Yeah, and CFA is basically a tool for the analysis of categorical data for contingency tables.
Much like LCA, then?
Exactly, yes. Yes, it's related to LCA. It's a person-oriented approach instead of a variable-oriented approach. You don't look at means, or, you know, you look at people, objects, animals, grouping together with certain patterns or configurations.
Okay, sure.
Its closest statistical relative is log linear modeling. Well, in log linear modeling, you try to fit the data to your model. In CFA, you kind of doing a residual analysis.
Okay.
So you look where the data does not fit.
Sure.
So, and you look at certain patterns or cells configurations that occur more often than expected. You look at sort of over-frequented, Wickens called it outlandish cells, outlying cells. You think if you have a certain cell where, you know, people, objects lump together, you call this a type. It's an outlandish cell. But it's also interesting to look at antitypes, cells, people, combinations that occur less often than expected. How I structured my class is to want to show them that it's not something strange, but but it's a, I have one session on CFA and log linear modeling. I have one session on CFA and LCA, latent class analysis. So I want to show whenever you have categorical data and you look at the structure of the data, CFA brings you, gives you more insight into the underlying structure.
Can I go back and ask you a little bit more about the types and the antitypes that you mentioned? Could you provide an example maybe that would give a concrete example of a type or an antitype or a research question that might be asked in that framework?
Sure, yeah. One advantage of CFA is that you are independent of any distributional assumptions. Basically, you don't have to require, you know, a normal distribution, and you can actually work with a relatively small n. So I'm doing data consulting for the children's clinic at the University of Erlangen, Nuremberg, and they have data of newborns. They have different complications. They were had very low birth weight.
Right.
They had seizures, you know, and they needed oxygen, so different treatments. Mm-hmm. And then they have data on their cognitive development in kindergarten. So whether it's, you know, normal or below average.
Sure.
So what they want to see is what different patterns, configurations lead to a normal development. So is it a problem if your child has low birth weight and seizures, you know, and, you know, needed oxygen? Or is it okay? So you look at patterns and you see, you know, what kind of children more often than expected develop normally.
Right.
And you look behind the pattern.
Okay, so, sure.
And that's interesting for them to see what are predictors for a normal development, what are predictors for maybe a detrimental development.
Okay, sure. So that's a pretty good example, I think, of one situation that this could be applied. Are there other typical uses of this method that you would say is used in developmental psychology more, or is it less frequently used in certain areas?
The one advantage is that you could look at, so you go beyond the bivariate analysis, you can look at higher order interactions at the same time.
Right.
That's a very good
especially with these smaller data.
Exactly, yeah.
That you mentioned.
There's this famous Mayle's paradox, Paul Mayle, who wrote an article in the 50s about this paradox. And, you know, it's sometimes you have zero bivariate associations, but in fact there are higher order interactions which you would never detect if you look only at correlations. And, you know.
And we all know the limitations of small sample sizes, that if you're looking for p-values and 0.05 being a magical number. So this may allow you to look at those higher order interactions and detect some of those patterns.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, how would someone who's interested in learning this method go about it? What software is available for conducting a configural frequency analysis?
Yes, actually there's a what we call shareware or freeware. It's a program written by Alexander von Eye, which can be downloaded for free from his website. He's at Michigan State University. There's an R package, CFA R package, and actually there's a SAS macro that can be used.
Good.
So, yeah.
Good. You mentioned that it's closely related to log linear analysis. Does someone need to be very adept at log linear analysis to conduct this CFA?
No, but it would help. I mean, if you know, if you're knowledgeable of log linear modeling, you know what are actually main effects or what interactions in terms of configurations or in terms of contingency tables, that would really help.
There's probably a nomenclature or language that's maybe used that is helpful to understand to do the CFA.
But it's actually not very complicated. It's very easy to learn.
Good, good. Can you point to any resources specifically, books or seminal articles that one could find?
Yes, there are. Actually, there is a new textbook by Alexander von Hayek. His older version was from 2002. And actually, in Germany, we have a journal, what we call Psychology Science, and it's from the Pabst publishers. And we actually have published at least three special issues on configurable frequency analysis. But and myself, I have published a special issue in memorial of Gustav Arlinert, who died in 2001. Those things are available in English, and most of the articles can be downloaded from the Pabst publishers website. It's a P-A-B-S-T.
Well, that sounds very interesting. I think that's something that I believe a lot of our listeners would be interested in learning more about. I know I certainly have not used the method, but it sounds very exciting, and I think I'd like to learn more about it, and it sounds like it's approachable.
It is, and it's very useful, and I'm glad that I was able to learn it from Alexander von Hayek.
Well, speaking of learning, that's a nice segue to our next topic. Just can you talk a little bit about your experience here at Penn State teaching the one-credit course? How did it go, and what types of students were attending, and those types of things?
What I learned is that if you are teaching a one-credit course, you get a small number of students, but they are highly, highly motivated,
so
which is
right.
really nice. And I have to admit that, you know, I was here to teach them, but, you know, based on their questions, I was also learning a lot, so.
Great.
I enjoyed it very much.
Good.
They make me think and, you know, look for alternatives. When I came here, I had only Alexander von Hayek's program. They wanted me to, because they use SAS a lot, so I was looking into SAS macros and R macro.
So that's how you were able to find out about those other resources available. Great. So what other activities were you involved with while you were here in your 5 weeks?
Well, I gave a presentation at your brown bag. Which I enjoyed very much because it's a very nice atmosphere. People like to talk and ask many questions, but they're very nice. And I'm a member of Donna's causal effects modeling group. So let's see how we have managed to meet on a monthly basis with me being in Germany. Maybe through Skype or something.
So you're going to continue that collaboration with Donna for her component. That's great. That's good. So on the personal side, how have you enjoyed your visit here to State College this time around? Have you she has to do any fun activities?
Yes, yes. Actually, I went to two football games, which was a lot of fun. And I walked up on Nittany Mountain this Monday. And I have to say, this center is a great center. You meet knowledgeable people. There are lots of people who I can ask questions. So I'm even thinking of coming back in 2 years and spend a sabbatical semester here.
Great.
So, thanks also to Linda Collins for inviting me.
Well, it sounds like you had a very good experience. I know that everyone here has enjoyed having you. I have enjoyed having you here this morning for the podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Methodology Minutes, brought to you by the Methodology Center at Penn State, your source for cutting-edge research methodology in the social, behavioral, and health sciences. This podcast is available on iTunes and at methodology.psu.edu.